summer Sundays are meant for freshly cut grass, ballpark dogs, and the best baseball talk you can find. So kick back with your bacon and eggs and pour yourself a mimosa while Phillies announcer Greg Murphy and Green Legion Radio's Chris Sack break down your fighting Phils and take you around the league right now on Baseball Brunch. Play ball!
Morning, Philadelphia. Welcome in to Bud Light Baseball Brunch live on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler down here at Xfinity Live, right in the pantheon of the sports complex. You like that word?
I do.
Right across from Citizens Bank Park.
We're off to a flying start here.
This afternoon, we will have National League Baseball between your Philadelphia Phillies and the New York Mets. Tell you what, it was coming across the bridge this morning, and I could smell the stench coming along with us. Right here on 102.5 Fox Sports again. We're ready to have some fun here this morning and talk some good baseball. Thank God they won that game last night, or I was going to be beside myself today, which is any different than any other Sunday morning. I have no idea. I'll let my co-host, Murph, speak for me on that behalf. I'm Chris Sack of Green Legion Radio and Phillies play-by-play announcer this week. Got a few games in there out in Cincinnati. Greg Murphy. What's up, Murph? How are we doing this morning?
What's up, Sack? I'll tell you what. No one is happier than me that they won that game last night. I didn't know what was in store for me this morning if they had had lost game three of this four-game series. It was a good win. And, you know, we kind of went into last night, into the pregame show, with this mentality of you got to figure something out, figure out a way to win a game. And they were able to do that last night. You know, tip your cap to Bailey Falter, what he was able
especially after the first inning.
Yeah, and I don't know if you heard his comments after the game last night, both to us on the postgame show and then in the clubhouse with the reporters, but he was really thoughtful in the way that he talked about that first inning. He said, I got to be honest, he said, you know, you looked around and it was a packed house, and he said, and all of a sudden, he started to feel it. He was feeling the nerves. He was feeling the butterflies, and you
I love
could
honesty.
See that. Absolutely.
Yes.
Totally agree with you. And he said, and then Caleb came out, and JT came out to the mound, and they talked to him. They calmed him down a little bit, and then obviously Nick Castellanos makes that terrific catch out there in right field, and he said it was kind of like, I can relax. And he did. He went out and got the next nine he faced and gave the Phillies exactly what they needed last night. So, you know, Bailey Falter was able to do what we have not been able to do with Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler on the mound.
We're going to touch on that.
Yeah,
for sure.
And that is win a game against the Mets. So, look, the Mets are a good team. I hate to say that with all these Mets fans here, but they really are a good team. But the Phils needed that game, and they need today, too. Let's be honest. Win today kind of changes the whole feel for the end of this Mets-Phillies season series, right? You get two in a row. You go into, hopefully, the postseason. If you see these guys, then you have this idea, okay, we've beaten them the last two times we faced them. We can beat them again, kind of thing.
Real quick. Now, Jance and I were talking about this off-air before we jumped on air here today. Who would you rather play in the postseason, the Dodgers or the Mets? Based off of the season series that we've had against the Mets so far. If you had your druthers.
Wow, that's a great question.
I said the Dodgers.
I think I would say the Dodgers, too, just because you know you've got that two-headed monster of Scherzer and DeGrom. And I know the Dodgers have great pitching, too, but it just feels differently, I guess. Maybe because we're so familiar with the Mets and what they're able to do. I would say Dodgers at this moment right now, if you ask me that question, which I don't know if it's the right answer or not, but yeah, I would say the Dodgers.
This is why you're a smart man, Murph.
Yeah.
This is why you're a smart man. And listen, Nick Castellanos gave some life insurance over to Bailey Falter yesterday, just like our good friends at State Farm do. Just as your local State Farm agent combines good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates, you can combine your home and auto, and guess what you'll get? That's right, good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates. In fact, State Farm agent Dave Bavuso is your go-to agent for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining home and auto today. State Farm agent Dave Bavuso will help you mix and match things perfectly. Call 856-740-5012 for your surprisingly great rates. That's 856-740-5012. 405012. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to the State Farm underwriting requirements. All right, let's dive in. Let's give a couple tickets away here. And so what we're going to do is we're going to give away two tickets to this upcoming Friday night's game between the Phillies and the Pirates at 7:05. It's Margaritaville night at the ballpark. I know Murph is especially excited about that.
Absolutely.
Because he is an absolute Parrot head. for sure. If I would have told Jansen ahead of time, he probably would have had Margaritaville playing while I was announcing this. But I digress.
I think it's on the baseball brunch wall, John, actually.
Do you have that in there?
Specifically for Murph. Yeah.
There you go. Hey, that's a good thing there. I like that.
In order to win, you must answer in the comments section on the Green Legion Radio YouTube channel, the Green Legion Facebook page, or our Twitter handle, at Green Legion. Did you see what I put on there for the...
I did. I don't know if you're hearing that good.
I'm getting a little bit of feedback around here.
Yeah, but I saw what you put. I like the question. I thought it was a tough question. I just asked my buddy over here, Christy Lynn, if she could help me figure out my fifth on the list, because it's one of those that you said action/fight scene. So to me, they could almost be two very different things right there.
It could be, but you know what happens on our feed is not a lot of people can decipher between the two. So we're better off just putting it all together.
All right. Well, then I've come up with five that we put together. So do you want me to give you
one of your five?
Yeah, and to me this is an easy one, especially here in Philadelphia. But I think it belongs as one of the all time great action fight scenes.
It better not be Rocky and Tommy Gunn in Rocky V.
It's not Rocky and Tommy Gunn in Rocky V, because that was the worst of the Rocky movies.
Sue me for what?
But it is Rocky I. I mean, the final fight scene in Rocky I is just a classic movie moment, right? You know, and I think here in Philadelphia, we've kind of lived with that for decades and decades, and it's kind of our mantra. It's our fight song. So yeah, the fight scene, Apollo and Rocky in Rocky I is on my list. Not number one, but it's on my list.
The way I got this idea was the other day, and me and my buddies at work, we were talking about The Matrix. And so for me, listen, The Matrix 2 was okay. The storyline kind of got confusing over the last third of the movie. But that fight scene, the freeway scene, with the tractor trailers and the motorcycles and the police cars, there is nothing that is better than that half hour between where they started out.
Half hour?
Well, it starts out like an atrium where he wipes out with like all these weapons that are on the wall. And then they wind up like running out and they get into a car. And then Morpheus is like, you know, Trinity, whatever I tell you about going on the freeway, whatever I said, ignore it. And they went right out on the freeway. And that, like, it was incredible. It's just an amazing scene.
I am sad to say I've never seen The Matrix, any of them. I know there's more
than
one.
I'm not going to judge you.
Yeah, well, I judge you for not seeing The Godfather. That's not going to change. But that said, I'm not sure I would like The Matrix. I probably would.
The first one, you really would.
Okay. All right. I'll check out the first Matrix, because I hear about it all the time, and people seem to love it. So, yeah, I'll have to check that out. I haven't seen it yet, so I'll look
at it. See that, I'll see The Godfather.
Yeah, okay. I won't hold my breath.
Or Goodfellas, which one?
Oh, Godfather.
Okay,
for sure.
Right. Sounds good. So that way I can still tick off Diaz with Goodfellas.
Yeah, there you go.
In the meantime,
you should see that too.
Let's get out of the box now. Not the best week for the Phillies. Probably one of the worst that they've had in a long time. Maybe since in the Rob Thompson era, as far as like, you know, record wise. 3-4 since our last show last week. Not terrible. Not too bad. 11 games back now. The Mets in the National League East. They're now 8 behind the Braves for second place in the National League East. And then if you look at the wild card standings, though, they're still a half game up on the Padres. And they've added a game between themselves and the Brewers. So the Brewers are now 2.5 back. And in the meantime, the Giants and Gabe Kapler, they've lost 4 in a row.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing is it's not just the standing that seemed to be hitting the Phillies a little bit hard in the National League East this week. It seems that the injury bug has finally started to catch up with the rest of the roster. Yes, on the horizon is the return of Bryce Harper, which we'll talk about in a minute. But the one that's concerning to myself and probably to a lot of our listeners is what happened last night after the game. David Robinson threw 2 innings of work. You were expecting to see Sir Anthony Dominguez in the ninth. Turns out that he has some soreness in his right triceps, and he's due for an MRI today. What's the level of concern in the Phillies clubhouse about this?
Well, I mean, obviously there's concern until they know exactly what they're dealing with. We had a chance to talk to Sir Anthony last night, and he was asked that direct question. You know, how worried are you based on your track record and in your injury history and what you've had to deal with over the last couple of years? And he said, yeah, I'm worried. I mean, it's my arm. It's how I compete. It's how I make a living. And it's not feeling 100% right now. So he's concerned, but concerned to the point of I need to find out if it's just a little tightness and soreness and I need to rest it a little bit, or perhaps there's something a little bit more to it, maybe some structural damage. Let's hope not. for, you know, obvious, for obvious reasons, let's hope not. I certainly hope not for Sir Anthony's sake. He's such a competitor, such a big part of what this team is doing in the clubhouse. He's a big part of the clubhouse and what this team is doing. So there's a level of concern. He'll get checked out at some point. Perhaps today he gets an MRI. Maybe it's tomorrow. But until we know what that MRI says, you don't want to speculate, because it could very well just be a little soreness. But they're certainly not going to take any chances with a guy like Sir Anthony Dominguez. So we'll wait and see. I would imagine he's not available today. I mean, there's nothing official saying that he is not available, but I wouldn't think we would see him today. Hopefully they don't need Sir Anthony Dominguez today. Maybe they have a nice cushion in the late innings and can go with some other guys. So, Corey Knebel's obviously still hurting a little bit. So that back end that was so solid, there's a couple of your weapons right there that aren't able to be deployed. So it makes it a little bit more difficult for Rob Thompson and Caleb Cotham to navigate the back end of that bullpen. But they still have, I was thinking about it last night. They still have David Robertson. They still have Connor Brogdon. They still have Brad Hand. They
Alvarado?
Still have Jose Alvarado.
Oh, man.
So, you don't feel as exposed in the back end because you do have that depth. But again, one of the reasons this team has been playing so well of late is because of that bullpen. So anyone you lose is a tough loss.
Was there a question asked to Sir Anthony? Was he experiencing the soreness on Wednesday in his outing in Cincinnati in the ninth inning? Or has this been something that has been creeping up on him over the last couple of days?
Yeah, he said that it just started yesterday morning when he was having a catch. That it was he just felt a little tightness. He might have said he felt a little tightness after he threw in Cincinnati, but nothing of major concern. He did not bring it up to the training staff until yesterday morning after he played catch, which they do every day. And he said, at that point he felt like it was tight, maybe a little bit of swelling in there, so that's when he went to the training staff.
Okay, so he would have been available on Friday night if they had needed him in that game?
In theory, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Now, David Robertson going two big innings for them last night. I would assume he's probably unavailable today. And like you said, Corey Knebel was a right lat strain. Is there a timetable on how long that could potentially have him out for? Is it going to be just for the 10 days? Could we see him out for a longer period of time? Is this maybe 3 or 4 weeks?
Yeah.
They haven't said anything on that yet?
They really haven't. I'm sure he's going through his own bit of testing as well. This idea, it's an injury that he has dealt with before in the past, and those kinds of things can linger, especially it's throwing side, and it's the kind of thing for a pitcher that's an important part of your body in terms of the mechanics of pitching. So I would imagine, it's probably going to stretch on a little bit longer than the 10 days if I had to bet. Again, I'm speculating. I have no inside information on that other than what we've been told publicly. So, but when you just stop to think about it, this is a guy that has had injuries over the last couple of years, so they're going to take it slowly with them. And so I would think that if we see Corey Knebel again, it's going to be probably a little bit into September at that point.
Kyle Schwarber with the mild right calf strain. Didn't look like it was bothering him.
No.
Kind of had a little hitch in the giddy up as he was running the second base. I just didn't know if that was potentially because of that, or it's just the fact that it's Kyle Schwarber legging out a triple. But that was fun to watch yesterday. Do we have any idea when we can expect to see him back in left field? Because I think a lot of what's been going on with the offensive struggles, being shut out over the last four times over the last week and a half, has to do with the fact that he hasn't been in the lineup, or his bat hasn't been in the lineup to where he's in left field. Because I think your better lineup right now, until obviously Bryce returns, is having Derek Hall as your DH in a lineup and having him out in left field. And it really hasn't provided that much length in the lineup for them. Do we have any idea when we could expect to see him back in left field and not DHing? Is it going to take place today, or could we expect it sometime during the Red Series?
I don't think it's going to happen today. I do think perhaps over the course of the next week they try it out. Last night, Rob Thompson, after the game, was asked about the base running of Kyle Schwarber. And to your point, he scored from first on a double yesterday. He legged out a triple. And he also hit a double. So he was really testing that leg yesterday when he came. They pulled him out for a pinch runner late in the game last night. I think it was the ninth inning. And, but that was simply just to get him off his feet. Rob Thompson was asked after the game last night, do you think Kyle can play the outfield? And he said, We're not ready to go there quite yet. And the follow-up question was, well, what's the difference between him running the bases like he did tonight and playing the outfield? And Rob said it's pretty simple. When you're in the outfield, you're on your feet the entire game. You're stopping and starting a lot more. And then you add in the addition to running the bases. He said, we're just not ready to put him into that situation quite yet. So they're going to put him through some tests again just to make sure that that thing is as close to 100% as it can be. And then when they feel like it is, they'll put him out there. Because I agree with you. Him in left field allows you to do a little bit more with that lineup. It lengthens it a little bit by putting a couple of different guys in the DH spot. So they have their eyes on that, but they're just not willing to take the chance of losing Kyle again for any period of time. So they have to err on the side of caution. You have the Reds and the Pirates coming in. You like to think that, you know,
you can handle it.
You can handle it. And I know that's probably not the best way to go about thinking about it, but when you're trying to manage health at this point of the season, sometimes you have to think about it like that. So just having him back in the lineup, we see the difference that he makes. I mean, he has been the one real bright spot in this Mets series offensively. So hopefully we get him back out in the outfield soon, but they're just not ready to pull the trigger on that yet.
Brandon Marsh, scary incident with him the other day. Out in Cincinnati, luckily we came out of that with the MRI. It was a bone bruise and a sprained ankle.
Yeah.
They put him on the 10-day IL. They brought in Bradley Zimmer, outfielder, to clean off waivers from the Blue Jays. Long-term diagnosis here, is this something, again, like kind of like with Knebel? Like, are we looking at maybe like through 10 days? I mean, I've had sprained ankles my whole entire life since senior year of high school, so I know what dealing with a sprained ankle is like. You're better off breaking it instead of spraining it.
Sometimes that's true. Yeah,
yeah, you're more susceptible to keep on spraining it. Is this something that we can expect him back after the 10 days, or are we looking at a couple weeks out? Have they given anything on that front?
Yeah, not a whole lot again, but again, me speculating. Watching him walk around the clubhouse yesterday, talking to him briefly. My bet is that this is more closer to a 10-day kind of thing than it will be a long-term kind of thing. You're right. You know, a sprained ankle can linger and can be a nagging kind of thing, and especially for a guy whose game is all about his legs, to be quite honest. So, again, they'll be cautious with him, but I think he avoided the real serious side of the injury. You know, when he came down, it looked pretty bad.
Yeah.
At first glimpse. So I think we'll see him back sooner rather than later. I can't put a timetable on it, but I wouldn't imagine it's going to go deep into September kind of thing.
And good news on the injury front, though, is we're looking at, finally, Bryce Harper is going to start a rehab stint in Lehigh Valley on Tuesday?
We believe. I mean, that's not officially announced yet, but it certainly seems to be trending that way. I think he's going to hit on the field again tomorrow. That's the plan. It was with the concert on Friday. There was a lot of things happening this weekend, the doubleheader yesterday, that didn't allow him to get back out on the field for one more live BP session.
So we got beat out on Friday night after the game because of Vanilla Ice and Jazzy Jeff.
Yeah, DJ. Well, yeah, but I don't know if you saw it, but they were fantastic. So it was kind of.
I know they saw it. I saw the videos. I was like, oh, okay. So we had to put Bryce on Ice Baby.
Well, Bryce did hit on Friday.
So I saw the video.
He wasn't going. He wasn't going to hit
was
Friday
hitting,
night.
He was
either.
Hitting bombs.
Yeah, he was. He looked good. So he's going to hit one more time. It sounds like Monday, which would make a lot of sense. And then if all feels good, then it would make sense that on Tuesday he would head out to a rehab assignment. And then it just remains, you know, how long does Bryce feel like he needs to get his timing down to a point where he can come back into this lineup and make a difference? And whether that's three games down in the minor leagues, if it's five games down in the minor leagues, again, I've always kind of been looking at September 1st as that day, and I think they're pretty much on target for that, if not even a little bit sooner. Maybe the beginning of the next road trip, Bryce Harper is back on the
active roster.
Well,
they're off on September 1st, so we can't come back on September 1st in between Arizona and San Francisco. So
solid point.
You would have to think he has to be on the flight out to Arizona on Sunday afternoon. I mean,
here's what I'll say. I will save Bryce's seat.
I was
seat.
Already wrong on my speculation from before, so why not?
I'm going to make sure I save Bryce's seat on the plane. And if he's available to join the flight, then we'll have a spot for him. I can promise you that. I think that is probably the most likely scenario. But again, if Bryce goes down to the Lehigh Valley or Reading or wherever he ends up doing his rehab assignment and has 8 at-bats in 2 games and says, I feel great and I feel locked in, come on back, big fella. You know, we'll welcome you with open arms. So we just have to wait and see how long it takes him to feel that way.
Can't wait. Let's carry on the rest of the conversation in the next segment first, okay? Premier Window Cleaning is the leading window cleaning company in Philadelphia and the surrounding areas. Over 30 years experience, they offer commercial and residential window cleaning, pressure washing, parking garage cleaning, graffiti removal, post-construction cleaning. Every employee is trained, certified, and goes through an extensive background check. At Premier Window Cleaning, your satisfaction level needs to be 100%, as no job is complete until you're happy. With clients like Lincoln Financial Field, Comcast, Chop Roberts, and University of Pennsylvania, you cannot go wrong. For more information and a full list of services, give them a call, 267-534-5198. That's 267-534-5198. Or head to their website, wehatedirtywindows.com. That's wehatedirtywindows.com. Coming up on our next segment, we're going to play a level of concern around the league, because there's a bunch of players and teams that need to have some level of concern heading into September. And also, I need to know from Murph, have you ever gone down Bernie the Brewer's slide? Right here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back right after this.
The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
David Vasse's been talking for 3 days about going down the slide here in Milwaukee. I've never heard somebody so excited about doing anything, and David did do it today. Watch.
All right, here we go.
Strike on Muncie.
Oh, welcome back.
Wow.
As we come crashing in here at Xfinity Live on Bud Light Baseball Brunch with David Vesey from the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Man, I got to be honest. That's the first I've heard that, and I haven't seen it yet. I don't know if I want to see it yet. I feel bad for him, honestly.
You know what my man needs? He needs some La Costa lemonade from
Lumba
Bar and Grill. That'll make him
like
feel
six
better.
Six of them.
Yes. Yes. The next time David Vesey comes out, we'll take him down to 4000 Landis Avenue in Seattle City. Yes, it's old La Costa, and La Costa lemonade is delicious. The hotel is open year-round, and all guests enjoy free Wi-Fi, one free parking spot per room, and complimentary beach tags and all registered adults. Only a few weeks left in summer, people. Make sure you get down there and check them out. At LudlamHotel.com. That's Ludlam, L-U-D-L-A-M, Hotel.com, or call them at 609-263-7829. That's 609-263-7829. For all your reservation, dining, or entertainment questions, the Ludlam Bar and Grill, your new oasis in Seattle City. All right, so first things first. So we heard audio, and I asked you kind of this during the break. Do you know Los Angeles Dodgers reporter David Vesey?
I do not. I have not met David before. So, no.
All right,
to answer your question.
So for those of you that know, Murph, are you watching it right now?
John Jansen just sent it to me, and I just watched it.
So Murph used to have the same role with the Phillies.
Yeah.
From 2012 through 2020, Murph had the privilege of doing that job, everybody's dream job of doing that. And you were all around the ballpark. Is that something that you did? Did you ever go down Bernie the Brewer's slide at, I still call it Miller Park.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever do that during your time frame of doing that job?
The easy and the quick answer is no. And it's funny because I did almost every other ballpark.
You probably
ballpark.
Sacrificed like Ben Davis or Rubio.
No. So, but there is a story behind it. So I did almost every other ballpark experience thing that you can do. I did the kayak out in San Francisco, you know, inside the Green Monster, you name it, inside the Wrigley Center Field scoreboard, all the kind of cool stuff that I was privileged and lucky enough to do, we did. And we talked about doing the slide each and every year that we went to Milwaukee, but we also talked about me being in the sausage race each and every year that we went to Milwaukee.
Just watch out for Randall Simon.
You're exactly right. You know, you never know what's going to happen. But so, and for whatever reason, it never panned out that we did either of those things. Part of the reason we did not do the slide is because it has been done before in Philadelphia, and it was our own Larry Anderson.
I think I remember that.
Went down the slide.
Yeah.
And he had a similar experience to David.
Wow.
It's a wild ride, apparently, and it goes a lot faster than you think. Obviously, you look at the video.
Did he go down the potato sack like David Vesey did?
I do not think he did. I think he just went down.
There's two versions of a potato sack here. He went down on one, and then he became one when he hit the wall.
Yeah, he did. Hey, you know, I feel, like I said, the worst thing, you know, I did a lot of fun stuff, but also a lot of stuff that's kind of right on the edge, and you're like, am I going to survive this? I mean, I was out in a kayak out there on whatever body of water that
is. Did you ever kayak before you went in McCovey Cove?
I had kayaked before, but you're out there all by... the guy launched me from the kayak, and he goes, paddle that way for about 15 minutes and then make a right. And he goes, if you go past the wall... you went too far. I'm like, oh, Lord. So, you know, and I paddled for like a half an hour before I got into McCovey Cove. And at one point, I'm like, what am I doing out here in the middle of nowhere? Water.
Were you saying, holy crap, holy crap,
pretty
holy
much,
crap, the whole
pretty
thing?
Much. So you know, you think, this is going to be how I go? And people are going to be like, how about that idiot that died in a kayak, you know?
That wasn't in the job description?
No, you know, I kind of made the job description up as I went along. So, but I feel for him. Because there was a part of me that wanted to do the slide. And there's a part of me that thinks maybe someday I still will. But that was my fear, is that, am I going to get hurt? Because L.A., when he did it, he's like, never again will I do that, because he said it was crazy. So I feel for him. David broke his wrist. Is that the...
Yeah, so two fractures in his right hand wrist and six fractured ribs.
Oh, man. See,
now that you hear that, would you do it?
Yeah, I think I would, but I would work. But here's the
Can
thing.
Can we put some padding on that wall?
It looked like there was padding on that wall.
Not enough.
Yeah, apparently not. But I think what I would do is I would wear sneakers and I would cheat and you know, kind of stop myself halfway down, kind of thing. Because I think if you... He looked like Chevy Chase on the little silver disc going down at Christmas Vacation.
Did you watch the video clip all the way through? When they sent it down to him and he raises his arm up with the cast?
No, I didn't see that part.
He's like, hey, guys!
Well, you know what? At least he's being a good sport about it. It's the six broken ribs that is going to give him...
Oh, man. Yeah. When he hit the wall, he's like tucking and he's turning. And he's kind of like grabbed at his wrist, but then you could kind of see him like grabbing at his ribs.
I can't believe that. And then, so, hey, tip your cap to Bernie Brewer, who goes down it a couple times a week.
He's got some cushion in there, though.
Well, still, you know. What happened to L.A. was he almost went off the side, I think. Yeah. Yeah, and that thing's up there. I mean, if you've ever been to Miller Park... That's at the top of the ballpark.
Oh, it's
high.
Yeah, it's high.
Yeah, so, you know, it was one of my big fears. So, I've done a lot of things on television over the years.
I'll tell you what. If you can make this happen, all right, then you got all the strings and all the pull. Now, I say wherever the Phillies are in that first round, I will be, except for San Diego. But the likelihood of that happening is not going to happen. Atlanta, God, I do not want to go to the Mets. I do not want to go to Citi Field. But Atlanta, St. Louis, Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Let's go out there. Let's do a baseball brunch broadcast from Miller Park. And if we can get ourselves on that slide, I'll do it with you.
Yeah. Well, I do. I will tell you this. Getting on that slide is reserved for... I know it's a difficult thing. And I think that was part of the reason we ended up never having to do it. You have to go through all kinds of...
You don't need me to do it, then.
No, I'm not even... I don't know that they would let me do it at this point. But
especially in the postseason?
Yeah, exactly. But... You know, we'll keep it in mind for years to come, and if we could ever make it happen. I think I would still do it, because it's one of those life experiences that you'd be like, yep, I did that, and I'm all about that, but I would take pause a little bit before I started, and I might wear rubber pants. I don't know.
Speaking of life experiences, too, your son, you brought him to Tennessee this week, your youngest son, you're now officially an empty nester.
I am.
All your kids are gone. How does that feel? I know you said that you probably unloaded so many tears the other day, but congratulations to the family.
Well, thank you.
With him going down to the University of Tennessee.
Yeah, go Vols. And I talked to him yesterday, and the first 2 days there, he's loving life.
That
course.
Freshman 15 is for real.
Yeah, he's very conscious of that. He's in pretty good shape right now. I said, hey, you better keep that in mind. And he's like, yeah, all right, I'm hitting Chick-fil-A, I gotta go. But yeah, no, it's awesome. Anyone that's ever dropped a kid off at college knows it's a very bittersweet moment. He was my third, and you know, it was a great day, and we're just excited for him. Just excited to get that next chapter in his life started. So, and I'm excited to go down and watch some Tennessee SEC football. because that's fun for dad. So,
and I'm excited too because it couldn't be any more convenient with your work schedule for you to take him down there. Was that like the appropriate time? You guys went on Thursday, and the Phillies just so happened to have an off day.
Off day, and I was in Cincinnati, so it's a 3-hour drive to Knoxville. I was able to jump in a rental car, get down there, meet him and his mom, and we moved them in on Thursday, and then we drove back on Thursday night. So. It all worked out. It worked out perfectly. It was back in time for the Mets game on Friday, but I'd have missed a game if I had to. Obviously, to drop off Colin at college, but it worked out great. So,
I know you have levels of concern with him now being away from you and being a few states away out in Tennessee. Around the league, there's some levels of concern too, Murph.
I've heard.
So let's dive into some around the league levels of concern here, and let's gauge it between the two of us. Where do we think the levels of concern need to be? Start off first, New York Yankees, losers of 3 in a row, 2-8 in their last 10. They're 4-14 in the month of August, which is one of the worst, if not the worst records. I don't know if right now the Nationals are the worst record in August, but especially yesterday after their game, they were the worst record in August in all of baseball. Their AL East lead is now down to 7 over the Blue Jays, 8 over the Rays. They're allowing these teams back in. What's your level of concern when it comes to the New York Yankees?
It's amazing how poorly they are playing right now. My level of concern, if I were a Yankee fan, my level of concern would... Well, if I were a Yankee fan, my level of concern would probably be pretty high. If I were covering the Yankees and watching them from afar as I do, my level of concern is almost at a zero. I think they're going to be just fine. The baseball season's a long season, 162. You're going to have stretches where you play poorly. Even the best teams, you know, are going to play poorly, and they are. I mean, it's kind of remarkable that this lineup has kind of all gone downhill at the same time, but it can just as easily all go straight back uphill at the same time, and they can rattle off 10 in a row. So my level of concern for the New York Yankees as an observer is almost zero. I think they will be fine. I think they win the AL East. I think they are very much in the mix for the pennant and certainly could win a World Series with this team. So they're going through a rough patch, and it's probably not easy up there right now in the Bronx. But if I'm a Yankee fan and I could take a step back and put it in perspective, I'm not worried.
You know, you would have thought they would have had some season-altering moments here over the last week. I mean, IKF hitting his first home run in Boston last Saturday, which led them to winning that game, and then they go back in the toilet.
Yeah.
And then Josh Donaldson walk-off grand slam the other night, and they've gone back into the toilet over the last few days. Their starting pitching is pretty suspect. I mean, Montez hasn't pitched well since he's been there. They traded away Jordan Montgomery, who turned right around a week later and made them look dumb for it when he was pitching for the Cardinals against them. For me, I look at it as like, yeah, all the bats are falling apart, but the pitching isn't as good as I thought it was going to wind up being in the first half, because I didn't pick them to go to the playoffs. They're going to make the playoffs. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of what they do when they get there. And right now, with them going into this funk, they're falling behind the Houston Astros. And if you're going to beat the Houston Astros, who's been your Achilles heel over the last 5 years, you were looking to have home field advantage in that series. They don't have it right now. They're about 3 or 4 games behind the Astros. Luckily for them, the Astros are playing the Braves this weekend.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. Who's better than the Yankees in the American League?
Astros.
Okay, so if you play the Astros in the AL Championship Series and you're at home, who's the favorite?
If you're the Yankees?
If you're the Yankees and you're at home. You have 4.
Astros, the favorite in the series.
Okay, so Astros are favorite either
way. I think they're favorite either way.
So there's only one team in your mind that is better than the New York Yankees and could win and get to the World Series?
If I'm talking from a death standpoint right now, it would be the Astros.
So, and that's why my level of concern is at just about a zero.
So just getting to the American League Championship Series is good.
They're still one of the two best teams in the American League, even as poorly as we're playing right now, and they could easily turn it around and turn it on and beat
the Astros.
Not
saying that they won't.
Yeah, I'm not either. I'm just that. So that's when you ask me level of concern, if you look at it that way, that's why I say almost nothing.
You know who needs to really be concerned, though, is Josh Hader.
Yes.
Entered July 13th with a 1.82 ERA. He's had an 18.78 ERA and 11 appearances since then. They made a huge trade to get him, which at the time was the biggest trade before the trade deadline, before they traded for Juan Soto.
Right.
Now, according to Matt Rapa, Hader before Bowman Vierling hit their home runs off of him in the ninth inning in Milwaukee on June 7th, 17 2/3 with 0 earned runs and a 0 ERA. During and after, 19 2/3 innings pitched, 19 earned runs, 8.69 ERA. If you look at it, Matt Vierling and Alec Bohm broke Josh Hader. Level of concern with him?
Level of concern with him, scale 1 to 10, 7.5, 8. Yeah, I think when you look at what has happened to him, and you have to scratch your head. I don't know what's happened to him. Unless he's hurt and he's not telling anybody, it's hard to figure out how a guy who was so incredibly dominant has turned into what he's turned into.
Breaking news, Sir Anthony's to the IL.
Yeah, figured as much. Okay, well, so they, you know that Phils are going to have to mix and match back into the bullpen. So, yeah. Who reported that? Do we know?
Well, I'm guessing did Jansen text that to you?
Jansen. Yeah, John Jansen. That's our source right now.
Yeah, he's breaking it on Bud Light Baseball Brunch.
All right, there you go. I was just
Jim
like to
Salisbury.
Give credit. Jim Salisbury?
Yeah,
okay, let's give credit to Jim for
no doubt
for
about
that.
Friend of the program, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And to the injured list. That's not good news for the Phils. But getting back to Josh Hader, yeah, I think there's should be a serious level of concern. And I agree with you. The Phillies broke him. So that's, well, you know, and I certainly hope it's not an injury issue. I mean, if he's just kind of struggling with his command, well, that's baseball, and we'll take that. You know, you don't want anyone to be hurt and struggle in that regard. But it was such an interesting trade. And I could not, for the life of me, figure out why the Brewers would do it. But maybe they knew. Maybe they saw something that they said, this guy's not the same Josh Hader as we've had over the past couple of years. And this might be the time to get something back for him and cut him loose. You know, if they knew he was hurt, that'd be one thing. But if they just thought he lost his confidence or lost his command and they wanted to move him at that time, maybe it was a pretty savvy move by the Brewers.
The Padres gave up a lot in both of those deals.
Yeah.
The Hader deal and the Soto deal. And in turn, a lot of their depth and their bullpen pieces. They went all in on those three pieces.
Yeah.
And,
thanks, Fernando. You know,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. But Bob Melvin said after before yesterday's game that they're going to taper him out of the ninth inning for right now and allow him to work on some things. We've seen how that's worked out with other closers. Doesn't necessarily always work out.
No, but sometimes it does. Look at Jose Alvarado.
Well, the Yankees did that with Chapman.
Yeah.
And it hasn't worked out in that context and things.
No, but Alvarado went down, worked on a couple of things, and
he's been fantastic.
Lights out since. So it can work. Well, you know,
last night was great because Beatty was up and he's batting, and the announcers were like, he's never seen speed from this side before. Like, you know, being up here, he's never seen a guy like Alvarado. First one, 95. Second one, 101. Then he throws a ball, and then he hits 102 on the gun.
Yeah.
It's just like
102 with a sinker.
Oh, man.
Right? I mean, you know, normally your four-seam is going to be a little bit faster than your sinker, and the sinker has the movement. 102 at your knees? Are you kidding?
Am I wrong for thinking this? Beatty kind of looks like Rusty from National Lampoon's Vacation.
He absolutely does.
Right?
Yes. Same age, too, it looks like. He is a young-looking man. They really like him. It looks like he's going to be a player. But, yeah, I think that's a great call, right?
And just a quick one, because this one's fun for me. I've always, from afar, admired the Orioles. Like, I know they've been on fallen times over the last 20 years, for a large portion of the last 20 years. But I'll tell you what, man, this team is a lot of fun. Especially, I know we made fun of it with Adley Rutschman when he got called up and like, oh, yeah, let's do it the day of the Preakness down there so we don't get a lot of fans out. Since he was promoted on May 21st, the team with the lowest payroll in baseball is 46-24. After starting 16-24, they're 2.5 games out of a wild card. Should the AL wild card contenders, knowing that the upstart Orioles are lurking, should they be concerned?
Well, yeah, I guess they should be concerned. It's funny. I was talking to somebody else not too long ago. I forget who it was. And I said, I just can't buy in on the Orioles quite yet. And this was about a week ago. And they just continue to play really good baseball. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I should be buying in on the Baltimore Orioles because, you know, sometimes a team just gets in their head like, hey, you know what? The heck with everybody else. We're pretty good. And
it's
we're
like Major League.
In a lot of ways.
It's a real-life Major League.
Yeah, well, and those two franchises paralleled each other a little bit.
That's two in a row. It's called a winning streak.
Yeah. You know, got some pretty good. We got a couple all-stars on this roster. It is. You're right. It's been a great story in baseball. At this point, I'm rooting for them. I guess if I'm an AL wildcard contender, I am concerned about those Baltimore Orioles lurking in my rearview mirror at this point because they don't seem to want to go away.
You know who's not concerned?
Who's that?
The Green Legion heading into this upcoming season, because we've got everything covered as we're doing trips for Chicago, Arizona, Indianapolis, Houston, down to D.C. on the bus trip. We're going to have a blast this season. It's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure you guys do it right and do it with us. 20 years in the business, nobody does it better. Make sure you go to the website, greenlegion.com, or call the office at 215-666-5940 today. Murph and I both hit the sports book pretty hard last week, but one of us did it just a little bit better than the other. Who was that? We'll find out on the other side.
Gee,
right here,
I wonder.
On 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. Bud Light Baseball Brunch. We'll be right back right after this.
The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
For the rest of the show.
I heard this the other night.
Live. Welcome back. Final segment here on this beautiful Sunday in the Delaware Valley as we take you into Phillies Mets this afternoon at 1:35. Kyle Gibson on the mound versus Jose Buto. It's not Buto, it's Buto.
That's right, it's Buto.
We were kind of going over how to pronounce his name, and luckily we were told that it was Buto. So I feel honored and privileged to know that now.
Yeah, making his major league debut. So, you know, the Phils have had mixed results against guys that they have never seen before. Hopefully they can. I looked at his numbers from the minor leagues. Really kind of pedestrian. 6-6, I think, in his 12 starts between AA and AAA this year. He's only had 2 starts in AAA this year, and he's pitched a 4.6 ERA kind
of thing. So you're telling me to expect a one-hitter through 6 1/3?
Well, no. I'm telling you to expect a high-scoring game, but that probably means we're going to have the one-hitter. So
you got the voice of God over top of us now here at Xfinity Live.
Nice of him to join us.
Yes, no doubt about it. All right, let's give away these tickets. We have 2 tickets to give away to this upcoming Friday night's game between the Phillies and the Pirates. And 7:05, it's going to be Margaritaville night over at the ballpark. And what we said was the best fight or action scene in a movie.
Yeah.
So here are the contenders. I'll give you... Actually, you give me your top 5 first, and then we'll do your...
All right, I'll go through my top 5 really quick. I already gave you Rocky.
Yep.
The original Rocky fight scene, final scene. One of the great movie history, so I think that has to be on the list. One of my favorite scenes of all time, and I don't know if you can classify it as a fight scene, but Raiders of the Lost Ark, the original, when Harrison Ford Indiana Jones is... being attacked in the town, and there's the samurai, and he's got the big sword, and he's whipping it around, and he's
pulls
doing all
gun out,
and he just pulls out his gun, shoots him. I mean, it's classic, right? So I put that on the list. Braveheart, the final fight scene in Braveheart is just an absolutely epic movie, you know, accomplishment, and Mel Gibson was amazing in that. So put Braveheart on the list. A Few Good Men. All right, no, and it's not an action fight scene, but the fight between when Jack Nicholson's on the stand and Tom Cruise is in the courtroom, back and forth. I'm counting that as a fight scene because the knockout punch,
verbal sparring.
Yeah, absolutely. That scene I could watch it 1,000 times, and I get goosebumps every time. So I put that on the list. But number one for me, and you know, it's a disturbing scene to watch. But it's also a moving scene and an amazing scene. Saving Private Ryan, the opening scene of Saving Private Ryan, D-Day, and you see just the horrors.
Just earth-shattering stuff.
Yeah, the horrors of war and the bravery of, I mean, that's a true story. That happened, and they were able to capture it, what we think was pretty accurately. So that's number one for me, Saving Private Ryan.
Okay. All right. Let's see what we have here on the docket. We have Captain America and a Winter Soldier, the elevator scene. I know you didn't see that one.
Missed it.
Yep, you did. Kill Bill, Bride versus Crazy 88.
Missed it.
Karate Kid, crane Kick.
Okay.
All right, Karate Kid. There you go. Thelma and Louise, Drive Off the Cliff.
Yeah, well, that ended the action, that's for sure. Yeah.
Santino in the Booth in The Godfather.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Okay. The Bathroom Wall in Mission Impossible.
Okay.
Speaking of Tom Cruise. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Cliff Booth versus the Mansion Murderers.
Wow. See, I'm a movie guy, and I'm getting shut out on all this. Go ahead.
Keep going. And the Italian Job, Mini Cooper's driving scene.
Yeah, the Mini Cooper driving scene in the Italian Job is a good one as well. God, I mean, honestly.
I'm going to lean on you here.
I would I'm going to have to go with
You've
the Godfather.
You've lost a tiebreaker the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the Godfather
okay.
in that.
Yep. All right, Santino and DeBooth and the Godfather. Congratulations, whoever was the one that did that. So as soon as we get a name, we'll go ahead and we'll get you across air for sure.
Congrats.
But we got our picks to get to first. And last week, Murph went 2-1.
Yeah.
2 points. Now he is up to his season mark, okay, to 21-27 with 26 points. I'm thinking next season, if we any of us take the Phillies, you get negative points in return.
Okay.
Because you jinxed them last week. You should have got -2 and no points.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Believe me, it hurt. I didn't enjoy watching that.
We'll talk about it heading into next season. Okay. I won't do that to you now because you're desperate. 21-27.
Oh, I'm not desperate points. Yet. I got 5 weeks to go. I'm good.
Sack went 3-0 with 4 points last week. Not one to brag, but I'm 27-21 now with 36 points. I got a 10-point advantage here headed down into home stretch.
Okay, so I'll half that today and half it next week, and we'll be tied. There we go.
Well, you can only get 4 points. Unless you're going all...
I was told there'd be no math, Chris.
And I would need to go over. I would have to go really cold here. So give me your first pick.
All right, I'm going with...
You called me Chris, man.
I know, I never
did
that.
Feels weird. It's like me calling you Greg.
Yeah, that's weird. That's odd. All right, Astros and Braves. So obviously a really good baseball game today. Braves have been playing outstanding over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, you said it. Astros probably the best team in the American League right now. The Braves have taken, what, the last two from them. So they play again today. Astros are your underdogs. It's Urquidy and Charlie Morton, who I think is kind of hit and miss with Atlanta for the most part. The Astros are +122. Astros can win any game they suit up for, so I'll take them as my underdogs at +22 to beat the Braves today.
Surprising to get them at dog money. So when you get them, you might as well play them, especially losing the first two in the series.
Yeah.
I'll go with my underdog first. Diamondbacks, +110. They're at home versus the Cardinals. The Cardinals have won 6 in a row. The Diamondbacks obviously have lost the first two in this series. Merrill Kelly is on the mound today, having a really good season in Arizona, and it's in Arizona. The game is there. I think this line looks too small if you're betting the Cardinals. I'm going to go on the other side. I'm going to go +110 with the Diamondbacks to win that game. Give me your second one.
All right, Red Sox and Orioles. Surprisingly, it's a pick 'em, right? So I don't know if I get the I'm picking as my favorite, I guess, in our little contest, but... they're straight up pick 'em today. So Pivetta versus Kramer, and it's the Little League World Series game. It's the one out in Williamsport. So you know, there's a lot going on there, national television. It feels like a game that Nick Pivetta kind of just kind of comes in and then limps out of. In my opinion, he's been up. He's been Nick Pivetta all year. He's 9-9. He's got a 4 ERA kind of thing. So I'm going to take Baltimore. And I said earlier today I hadn't bought in on Baltimore yet. I'm buying in. I'm buying in on Baltimore to beat the Red Sox tonight in that nationally televised game. And they'll be my number two pick.
All right, my favorite is going to be the Rays, -180 to win the series against the Royals. One Thursday, lost Friday, one last night. They're going to win that series at home against the Royals. Give me your last pick.
All right, finally, Blue Jays, Yankees, over-under 7.5. I think both teams' offense kind of breaks out today, Manoah versus Cortez. I know they're two good pitchers, but 7.5, certainly manageable. The Yankees need to get things going. They do today, and they go over the 7.5.
All right, now I'm going to go over 6.5. Angels, Tigers in Detroit. Otani and Eduardo Rodriguez under the first two games in this series. I think they're going to go over in Detroit today.
I looked at that one, yeah.
Yeah, can you believe it? Can you believe it? Two things we found interesting from this last week in Major League Baseball. I'll start off this week. All right. So the Cardinals became the first team in big league history to have a player at least 40 years old hit a grand slam and another at least 40 to pitch 7 shutout innings in the same game. Pujols is 42 and 2 years older than Adam Wainwright.
How about that? You know what? The Cardinals, they're a fun team to watch in that regard. I really think so. And I'm going to stick with Albert Pujols for mine. Yeah, he hit 2 home runs yesterday, number 691 and 692 in his career. And by doing that, became the second, has the second most total bases in Major League Baseball history now. It's just an amazing accomplishment. And he is closing in on number four all-time in home runs ever hit as well.
Four behind.
Four behind Alex Rodriguez. So he needs just, he's four to pass him, right, I think?
Four to tie, five to pass.
So there you go. So hopefully he gets that done and gets it done this season.
And according to Matt Gelb, real quick, Corey Knebel's season is over. He has a tear in his right shoulder capsule. He's going to Texas for stem cell treatment to try to avoid surgery.
That's a shame. We're going to miss Corey for sure, both in the clubhouse and out there on the mound.
I know the Braves like signing these players to long-term contracts. It's been, you know, a lot of people complaining about the Harris deal. Austin Riley will be 35 when his contract ends in 2032. Matt Olson will be 36 when his contracts end in 2030. Michael Harris II will be 29 when his contract ends in 2030. Bobby Bonilla will be 72 when his contract ends in 2035.
Very good. That's real quickly, Manny Machado joins Tony Gwynn and Gary Sheffield as the only Padres to have 8-plus straight multi-hit games.
Unbelievable.
That's a pretty good list, right?
Yeah.
Those guys can hit a little bit. Machado, Gwynn, Sheffield.
All right, so we got today's season finale against the Mets, and then four with the Reds, and three next weekend with the Pirates to complete this homestand. Try to finish the season series off on a high note with the Mets, and then pick up some wins against the bottom feeders.
Yeah, you know what? You need to win 5 out of 7 against the Reds and the Pirates. 6 out of 7 would be even better. That would certainly, obviously, make it a successful homestand no matter what happens today. But I think today, from a mental standpoint, from a psyche standpoint for this clubhouse, go out, take care of business, beat up on this young guy making his major league debut, win 2 in a row against the Mets, split the series here, and have some good feelings going forward that that maybe you could take into the postseason if you were to see the New York Mets in the postseason. That's got to be the thought process today. I think it happens. I think Kyle Gibson gives you a good start today. If I had to bet, I'm thinking it's something like a 7-3, 7-4 kind of game today.
All right, sounds great. And thank you to our friends here at Xfinity Live. We'll be back next Sunday, right from this very spot. So make sure you guys come on back and hang out with us, because we're running out of time down here at Xfinity Live this season.
Here we are.
But we're going to have as much fun with it as possible before football season rolls around. And I'd like to thank everybody for stopping on down and checking us out as well. For Greg Murphy, John Jansen back in studio, and Kyle / the Gobbler Nunnemaker, I'm Chris Sack, and like a 3-1 pitch to Ryan Howard, we are out of here, baby. Everybody enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and let's go Phillies.